I don't know if you've ever been to the cinema to watch one of the Marvel superhero films. If you have, you will notice that a strange thing happens at the end of the film. When the credits start to roll, instead of people getting up out of their seats and heading for the exit as soon as they can, you'll find that many people will remain in their seats. Now, they don't do that because they want to read all the credits. They don't want to find out who operated camera number 4 or who was in charge of Spider-Man's makeup. No, they do it because, well, as some of you will know, right at the end of the credits in Marvel films, there's often an extra scene. An extra scene where there's some important information revealed, where more of the story or a link to the next film is revealed. And as we come to the end of our journey through Colossians today, we also find ourselves in the end credits. But it's not just a list of names that Paul gives us. We also get a glimpse of what God is doing in and through these men and women as they follow Christ's call on their lives. Let's read a reading from Colossians chapter 4, beginning at verse 7. Tychicus will tell you all the news about me. He is a dear brother, a faithful minister, and fellow servant in the Lord. I am sending him to you for the express purpose that you may know about our circumstances and that he may encourage your hearts. He is coming with Onesimus, our faithful and dear brother, who is one of you. They will tell you everything that is happening here. My fellow prisoner Aristarchus sends you his greetings, as does Mark, the cousin of Barnabas. You have received instructions about him, and if he comes to you, welcome him. Jesus, who is called Justus, also sends greetings. These are the only Jews among my fellow workers for the kingdom of God, and they have proved a comfort to me. Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. He is always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. I vouch for him that he is working hard for you and for those at Laodicea and Hierapolis. Our dear friend Luke, the doctor, and Demas send greetings. Give my greetings to the brothers and sisters at Laodicea and to Nympha and the church in her house. After this letter has been read to you, see that it is also read in the church of the Laodiceans, and that you in turn read the letter from Laodicea. Tell Archippus, see to it that you complete the ministry you have received in the Lord. I, Paul, write this greeting in my own hand. Remember my chains. Grace be with you. Lord, we thank you for this, your word to us, and we ask that now by your Holy Spirit, you would help us to see and to hear and to respond to all that you have for us. Amen. We heard last week how the call to follow Jesus should have an impact on every aspect of our lives. Our words, our actions, our relationships, our work, our leisure, everything shaped by the nature and character of Jesus, by his compassion, and by the grace that God has made known through him. And in our reading today, in that final part of Paul's letter to the Colossians, we have a list of people, a list of real people, people who lived and breathed and walked this earth just as you and I do. And like us, they were a really diverse bunch of people. There were Jews and Gentiles, men and women, slaves and free, people who could be relied on and people who made a bit of a mess of things at time. A really diverse bunch, just like you would find in any church, really. But everyone has a part to play. Even with our faults and with our failings and with our gifts and with our commitment, everyone is important. Everyone finds a place. In Jesus's book, there is room on the page for everyone's story. And so who does Paul write of here as he concludes his letter? Paul writes of Tychicus, the one who will be bringing this letter to the Colossians. And Tychicus is described as a faithful minister who has served alongside Paul. And Paul knows that his friend Tychicus will encourage the church through his faithful teaching and service. Travelling with Tychicus is a man called Onesimus. And his story is really one for another day, and it's covered in Paul's letter to Philemon. But you may well remember that Onesimus was a runaway slave, and his master, Philemon, is one of the congregation of the Colossian church. A runaway slave who became a Christian. A runaway slave who was now returning to his master. And the question that we ask is, well, what would happen next? Would his master punish him, as he was entitled to do? Or would he show grace and mercy towards his new brother in Christ? Names on a page, but each one a life where God was at work. The next three names are all Christians, followers of Jesus, from a Jewish background. We have Aristarchus, who is a prisoner with Paul, someone who had faced suffering and persecution just because he wanted to share the good news of Jesus with others. And then we have greetings from Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, the writer of the second gospel that we have. And this is the same Mark who gave up on Paul and the others in Pamphylia because it was all getting a bit too difficult. But here he is again faithfully serving and following his Lord. And Paul says, if Mark comes to you, then welcome him. That's a wonderful reminder, isn't it? A wonderful reminder that even when we get things wrong, even when we give up, God never gives up on us. He restores, he renews, and he always welcomes us home again. Right, now, where are we? Okay, verse 11. Verse 11, we have Jesus, Not that Jesus, but another Jesus. Jesus, who it says in verse 11, who is called Justice, sends his greetings. And here again is someone who has helped to comfort and to support Paul in his ministry, and especially during those days of imprisonment. And this is the only mention that we have of Jesus Justice in the Bible. And in the one verse that we have about him, we learn that he is a fellow worker for the kingdom of God and that he brings comfort. That's not bad for one verse, is it? A fellow worker in God's kingdom and someone who brings comfort. You know, never underestimate the impact that you can have in God's kingdom work. He knows your name, and even one verse changes everything. Epaphras gets two verses, verses 12 and 13. And of course, he deserves two verses. He was one of the founders of the Colossian church, and he has never, as it says, he has never stopped praying for them, wrestling for you in prayer, as Paul describes it, praying that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. It's good to be praying for each other. It's good to be praying for the church. Now this week on Monday, I rang Hazel to ask if she would lead our prayers this week. And many of you will know, watching this, many of you will know that Hazel is our senior church member. And of course, I would never divulge a lady's age, but it's enough to say that Hazel is the same age as the Queen who will celebrate her 95th birthday later this year. But when I rang Hazel, she said, "Oh, Adrian, I'm so glad that you rang me to ask me to do prayers this week. Because I was just sitting here thinking, what can I do for the Lord this week?" Well, thank you, Hazel, for your prayers today. But thank you also for that attitude of asking, "Lord, what can I do for you today?" May we all take inspiration from that attitude. And may we also take inspiration from Epaphras and keep on praying for one another. Paul then goes on to mention his dear friend Luke the doctor. It's always good to have a doctor on the team, isn't it? And of course, we know that Dr. Luke made a very careful account of the story of Jesus and of his followers in the Gospel of Luke and in the book of Acts. Luke was a man who noticed what God was doing. Noticed what God was doing in the world around him. And then wanted to share that story with others. Along with Luke, we have a man called Demas. Demas, who at this point was still with Paul, but I've got to say that his story does not end so well. Paul writes a later letter to his friend Timothy. And in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 9, it says, he says to Timothy, "Do your best to come to me quickly. For Demas, because he so loved this world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica." Demas, a man who allowed his love for the Lord to be pushed aside because of his love for the world. And he followed his own plans and his own ways instead of the plan that God had for him. Now I wonder how many times Paul had said to Demas, as he wrote in this letter a little earlier, I wonder how many times he'd said, set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. But Demas turned away. Time and time again, Paul reminds us that we are called to focus on Christ. This is the message that he wants to share with the world. And we have a reflection of that as he greets the church at Laodicea. And he wants this letter that's written to the Colossians to be passed on to the church in Laodicea, so that they too can read and share his message. And they, in turn, would hear back from them a letter that he has written to the church in Laodicea. A letter that we no longer have, but words that would have been of encouragement. Words that would have pointed to Christ. Paul greets Nympha and the church that meets in her house. And you can almost imagine Nympha and the little church that gathers in her house. You can almost imagine these faithful brothers and sisters. They're feeling so encouraged as Paul mentions them by name, encouraging them to be faithful in all that they do. Because every life, every church is important and has a part to play in God's kingdom. Finally, in our list, there is a message for Archippus. Verse 17, it says, see to it that you complete the ministry you have received in the Lord. We don't know too much about Archippus and where he was from and where he went to, but Paul encourages him here to keep on in all that God has called him to do. To be faithful to God's call. And that same message comes to each one of us. Whoever we are and wherever we are, whatever our background, whatever our gender, whatever our age, there is something for you to do. And God promises to help and encourage you in the work that he calls you to. Philippians chapter 1 verse 6, Paul writes that God will complete his work in you. He writes, I am confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Complete in Christ. That's what God wants to be doing in you and me, that we would be complete in Jesus. Your name there in the credits at the end of the story. Your name there alongside Nympha and Epaphras and Aristarchus and Onesimus and Archippus. The story of God's work in your life, along with those stories from Mark and Luke. And may we know God's blessing as we live our lives for him. Complete in Christ for his glory. Amen.